This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. We want to warn you that this next story may be hard for some listeners to hear. It's about suicide. My colleague Alex Chadwick has more.
Madeline, I used to work in San Francisco, and in my head, I still see images of the Golden Gate Bridge. On a ferry boat across the bay one evening, the bridge pylons exactly framed a cloud that had settled on the distant horizon of the Pacific. The setting sun lined itself up behind the cloud and made a hot, glowing outline all along the rim of the gray mass. It was a perfect moment. An amazing setting for a film, but the new documentary, The Bridge, juxtaposes this scenic beauty with the horrific images of people jumping to their deaths.
I think The Bridge has a romance, a false romantic promise to it. Because he's dead. But he doesn't benefit from it. So what if his story has that at the end? He's gone.
Eric Steele directed The Bridge. He set up cameras and recorded every day in 2004. There were 24 suicides that year. He videotaped 23 of them and interviewed family members, friends, and people who witnessed the deaths. I asked Eric Steele why he wanted to make this film.
I saw the World Trade Center's fall from my office, and I was very aware of the people who had jumped out of the building rather than die in the inferno. And when I read in The New Yorker about 2 years later that the Golden Gate Bridge was the most popular suicide destination in the world, I guess I saw some connection. I imagine that the people who were jumping off the bridge were making a choice to escape this emotional inferno that they were living in. The idea that 24 or so people did this every single year, I just sort of felt like if you sat there at the bridge for an entire year and watched and watched, you would learn a great deal about something that people don't often see.
Just that first man you show jumping, he's so calm. He's so ordinary. Nothing is going to happen in this moment. And then something does that is horrific.
It was sort of like that all the time at the bridge. You know, you'd be watching people. And once you knew that it could happen to anybody, you were waiting and watching with such high anxiety. Every time you saw someone walk out onto the bridge alone, you sort of thought, oh, my God, this person might be getting ready to end their life.
Did you think you knew?
I mean, every time we tried to come up with a profile, I mean, if you look back at our logbooks, they're filled with notes that say, you know, a man walking alone with his hooded sweatshirt pulled down over his head, or, you know, a woman pacing back and forth pulling her hair, or person crying. You know, every time we tried to make a sort of compendium of physical attributes, we were proved wrong. I mean, the first person that I actually saw in close-up climb over was a man who was jogging 1 minute, and he was talking on his cell phone and laughing, and then he hung up his phone and climbed over. It just seemed so unlikely.
When you saw people who seemed to be in distress, did you feel I should go up there and try to save that person?
Well, I mean, I think we felt anxiety every day. I mean, not a day went by when we weren't sure that we were watching someone who might be thinking about ending their life. But most of the time, those people just walked off. And so if we had called or done something every single time we were anxious, it would have been like the boy who cried wolf. So we had to set some sort of guidelines. And our guidelines were that any time someone stepped up onto the rail, that was when we would call. We were about half a mile away from the bridge, so we couldn't really run up there. But we did have our cell phones programmed with the bridge police. Sometimes we were able to save people's lives, and sometimes, you know, sadly we weren't.
There's obviously a fuzzy line between doing nothing and doing what would have prevented it, and who knows where that line is. Initially, several of his other friends went out there as a group because they knew the light pole number where he had jumped. I couldn't go, but a couple of months later, I did go, and it was very difficult. I'll never be able to sort of drive across the bridge again without some kind of emotional reaction. Something else I'm pissed off at him about, such a great bridge.
I've done a lot of interviewing, and I mean, I've done a lot of interviewing, and I could see that you spent a lot of time talking to these people. You got them to drop their barriers, which are normally there in interviews with people. They talked intimately with you. They didn't spare themselves, and they didn't spare the people they were talking about. It's very, very difficult to achieve that in an interview. I was impressed.
Well, thank you. I have to say, I mean, I've never done interviews before I did this, and I know that the scariest phone call I ever had to make was to the Manico family, and they had just lost their son, and, you know, I thought, well, what do I use to convince them to do this? And really, they were so generous even before I asked that my job was sort of easy. Their job was actually hard. I mean, no matter how hard it was for me to make that phone call, it must have been much harder for them to tell the stories that they did.
For me, he said he was just going to go down so deep that even if he changed his mind, he couldn't swim to the top. But the coroner said it was over instantly.
Boy, imagine what this looks like to people. They probably look at us and say, what kind of mother and father were they?
Yeah.
I wasn't perfect. But I mean, I don't think I was such a terrible mother.
They're the parents of Philip Manico. Right. Wally and Mary Manico, the parents of Philip Manico. He left a bag on the walkway with a camera. He'd taken photos from the bridge to show what he was feeling to his parents. Isn't there something impossibly cruel about that?
You know, every person who's suicidal isn't exactly thinking clearly. So I think what the message he was leaving is a little convoluted. But I think it was meant in an odd way to reassure them that he was in God's hands and not struggling here. The odd thing about these photographs, to me, I was shooting that morning and it was a sunny day out at the bridge and there were a lot of people there. In my footage, you know, the bridge is filled with people. And in his, there's not a single person in any of these shots. It's all very gray. And it was color film. And it just sort of shows that, you know, for people struggling with these mental illnesses, it's not just that life is hard for them, but they really see things very differently. I mean, they see the world in a completely, from a completely different viewpoint than most people without mental illnesses.
Eric Steele, director and photographer in some part of the new film, The Bridge, opening around the country today. Eric Steele, thank you for speaking with us on Day to Day.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That interview by my colleague Alex Chadwick. The Bridge chronicles the Golden Gate Bridge suicides in 2004. We want to leave you with one story that stood out from the rest, the story of a young man who survived his jump.
And the second my hands left the bar, I said, I don't want to die. I said, what am I going to do? This is it. I'm dead. So I said, well, maybe if I get head or feet first, maybe. Maybe I'll live. And I went down about 40, 50 feet. Didn't know which way I was up or down. I was awake. I was alive. So I reached the surface, I guess, because I saw some sort of light. And I was screaming for help, but I couldn't really scream. My voice was gone. I couldn't yell. I was like, help. Help me. And I felt something brush by my leg. I was like, oh, great. I didn't die jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. A shark is going to eat me. Like, this is ridiculous. Years later, I found out, matter of fact, last year, I found out it wasn't a shark. It was a seal circling me, and apparently it was the only thing keeping me afloat. And you cannot tell me that wasn't God, because that's what I believe. And that's what I'll believe till the day I die.